Guys, welcome back to another episode. And for today's episode, we have a special one because when Lou and I were coming up listening to hip hop, I don't think I was listening to 2000s hip hop as much as I was, let's say, to the 2010s. And the same could be said maybe for the 90s because I was born in 2000, same for you, Lou. And when you're like 10, 11 years old, you start exploring different things. And one of those things is music. And for the most part, I remember the first time my cousin maybe showed me the Marshall Mathers LP, or maybe showed me 2001, showed me, you know, the Blueprint and a bunch of OG classics. But for this episode, it's going to be interesting because I want to take you guys through, let's say, my most pivotal years from my hip hop listening experiences for the 2010s. So this episode is going to be based around me and Lou's curation for our most listened to music in the 2010s decade, especially for hip-hop. And with that being said, guys, smash the follow button on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you guys are listening to this audio exclusive episode. And with that being said, we are dropping a new episode every single Tuesday. But Lou, how do you feel today, Matt? Because every single time I come into one of these episodes, either we go into different genres, or let's say we go a bit weirder with our recommendations, but I think this one's going to be fairly simple for today.
Absolutely, man. I mean, this is at least my favorite decade for music, and I'm sure it's yours as well, just because there's so much nostalgia attached to it. And I feel like when it comes down to favorites versus like what's the best album from this catalog, from this artist, whatever it is, the favorites conversation is usually based around, you know, what do you have memories attached to? What's nostalgic for you? And when it came to me forming this list of my most played, obviously it's based on, you know, what I have the most memories attached to. And also for myself, I tried to go with, like, this is not necessarily my top 10 or top 20 most listened to, like, exactly in order. It's more or less songs that I listened to quite a bit from the decade that are also maybe a bit under the radar for some people. Not to say that, you know, I have songs from Immortal Technique and a bunch of underground stuff, but I try to go with songs that maybe some people, you know, in our audience haven't listened to.
This is what I kind of did with mine. I went through my replays over the years. I wanted to bring in some different replays that I have access to. So I have 2015 that I could access. I also have 2019 that I could access. So we'll go through my replays on that.
You don't have every year since you're on Apple?
But that's the thing, is that I thought I had the playlist added, but I'm going to have to find a way to be able to re-add these, because I'm sure I'm able to access my 2017 and 2018 through Apple. But yeah, that's what I tried to do. Just give you guys an idea of what I was bumping throughout that year. I don't think I'm going to have the most special recommendations. It's just to give you guys maybe a taste of like where my music listening experience was when I was listening to hip hop full blown. And then after that, talk to you guys a bit about like what I enjoyed and, you know, what kind of got me back into the genre. So with that being said, like, let's start at the beginning of the decade, all right? So when you started coming up listening to hip hop, what were you going for, let's say?
I was just going for quality listening experiences. You know what I mean? It just, obviously, when you're just fresh getting into a genre, you're listening to some of the most popular music, some of the biggest artists in the game. And a lot of my rotation came from people like Drake and Kendrick and Cole and Saba and Kodak Black, and just a lot of people that caught my attention, whether it be through a lot of conversation online, through seeing album reviews being done by different creators, whatever the case may be, whatever I was exposed to. So it started off more or less, you know, mainstream hip hop, and then it sort of developed into more and more underground stuff. But the first song I want to talk about on my end is going to be Commando by Migos. Came out in 2016. This is from their mixtape YRN2, released a full year before Culture. And when we were listening to Migos, even before the Culture days, this is one of those songs alongside A Fight Night, A Hannah Montana, A Cocoon, that was heavy in rotation. And of course, when we were listening to music, you know, together as friends.
Well, that's it. I was maybe expecting you to bring in A Cocoon, no?
Yeah, you but you know why? I've spoken about it in a recommendations episode already. But Commando was another big one. And cool. I remember we used to sit around Bruce's couch and just have like the music videos of different songs playing on his TV and just vibe out to music that way. And this is one of those songs that made that TV rotation, you could say. And if anyone ever wants to tell you that Migos can rap or that they're not lyrically talented or whatever the case may be, just play them this fucking song. It's really as simple as that. Like, this one and Too Haughty is probably their best showcases of their collective rapping as a trio.
Maybe Cocoon.
Maybe Cocoon. Not like bar for bar, and actually like,
I would actually rank Cocoon like at the top of those songs.
You could say it's a better song, but in terms of their actual rapping, this is 5 minutes long. It's a song that barely focuses on production. Like, this song could have been an a cappella because you almost forget the instrumentals there. Because for 5 minutes, they're just rapping. It's a quick-paced, thrilling banger. And they pretty much go in on how, like, you know, they have Rambos in the bando and how they have guys that are, like, so well-trained that they could be special forces in the military. And while it being a violent geared song, it's also about them talking about their success, the success of Versace, them missing their fallen loved ones, like their grandmothers. And what's funny is that, like, in the video for this song, you'll see Takeoff, like, hunched over, and, like, that's when you knew that Takeoff was going in reverse, when he had that, like, that hunched over back. And I love the fact that he has sort of the mainstay presence taking on the hook and the first verse. And the hunger from them, the flow switches, Quavo having the most dynamic vocal performance out of the bunch on this song. It was just a perfect Migos song that I feel like people maybe forgot about now. It was popular back then, but now, I don't know.
All right. Very good selection. So what I'm going to do with you is that I actually have access to all the playlists. This is what I wanted to do today with you, okay? So I have 2015, I have 2016, I have 2017, 2018, and 2019. So you got like 5 years of like my direct listening ship, especially for like when I was getting out of high school or where I was midway through there. So what I want you to do is I want you to go through these playlists and I want you to ask me questions about certain songs that I have, let's say, in rotation. And from number one, that's my most played song of the year. And then after that. So in 2015, it wasn't too developed because I made the switch to Spotify. So you're only going to see, well,
you're 34. You were a traitor at one point.
I have 34 songs here, and you're going to see that it's not necessarily anything too crazy, but there's some interesting picks. And then 2016 starts to get more. So start off with 2015. Let me know what you see here. Let me know what you want to ask you about.
2015. Expect some rodeos, my long last ASAP.
No, sir.
Okay. Some old Ice Cube. Interesting.
It's a lot of Ice Cube.
Gangsta Rap Made Me Do It. That's a banger. Hood Mentality. Okay.
There we go.
Some Schoolboy Q in there. Let me see what's going to be surprising. Drop It Like It's Hot. I never knew you were that big into that one.
I love that song. Absolutely. When I was a kid, yeah, absolutely.
Damn. Okay.
I had that bumpy throughout my speaker. So there's only 34 songs on that playlist as a whole, but maybe ask me a question about a song or two that you're asking, like, how the fuck were you bumping that back then?
Let's see this. I mean, I guess my main question for you is that, like, almost half of the songs you have on here are older hip-hop songs. Like, you have The Message on there. You have some 2001. You think that was the case of just that year, or like overall throughout the 2010s?
For sure.
It's always been a mix of like, you know, 90s, 2010s, etc.
Well, example, like, you could kind of tell where my mentality was at, because like Gangsta Rap Made Me Do It, you know, or Hood Mentality. Like, I was just listening to a bunch of different like hip hop artists and kind of exploring the catalogs.
It's a lot of gangster rap in that year too.
Yeah, I'm a big
more
gangster.
Than anything, it's gangster rap.
Absolutely. So I have a lot of gangster rap in here. And maybe one of the recommendations that I could actually make you guys off of this playlist is actually Ice Cube's album Raw Footage. This dropped back in 2008. And there's a bunch of fantastic
songs. Not really
songs.
A 2010s one. Okay, I thought that came out in 2010.
No, that came out in 2008. Okay. I was just bumping it super heavy in the 2010s, and that's when I got into Ice Cube's catalog. But of course, Gangsta Rap Made Me Do It, Hood Mentality, Thank God. Like, there's just bunch of
which
songs
2010 songs would you recommend from the playlist?
Do I even have any 2010 songs? Maybe Break the Bank by Schoolboy Q off of Oxymoron. That's a fantastic song itself. But I don't know. I came into this episode with a bit of a different mentality. I really wanted to explore my replays for 2015 to like all the way to 2019 and just see where like my music listenership is at, because I've recommended a fuckload of music from the 2010s already. So even stuff like, example, Jack in the Box is fire. I was going back to like Ice Cube's old greatest hits. What else was I going back to? You see, like, now you understand why I love It Was Written so much, because I was really on that album first, maybe before even Illmatic. Like, I listened to Illmatic first, but I had gone through a lot more of It Was Written and found myself going deeper and diving harder within that album. So that's where I was at. Not only that, but this year, Dr. Dre's Compton album had dropped, and this was a big standout for me as well. I remember this was the reason why I had done the switch to Apple Music, because we were at a friend's house one night, and I believe that Dr. Dre had dropped Compton, and my cousin and I were super hyped for this fucking album. Like, we were ecstatic through the roof. Like, we really wanted to see it drop. And of course, you guys could find songs in here like One Shot One Kill with Snoop Dogg, also stuff like Talking to My Diary, one of the more personal cuts in Dr. Dre's catalog, Genocide with Kendrick Lamar, that verse is absolutely fucking vicious, Talk About It with King Mez. There's a lot of different songs on that album that I'd go back to. But yeah, it was mostly that, Oxymoron. Like, I was in that gangster rap West Coast sort of phase when I was in 2015. So 2016, I'll have a lot more to showcase. But that's where I was at in 2015 with my listenership.
All right. Well, yeah, for myself, like I said, I kind of just brought in songs. So my next song that I want to talk about, one of my most played of the decade, a song that I still listen to today. And it's like, when I listen to the lyrics of this song, especially, even though it's not a lyrically driven song, it's one of those Drake songs that's more like, I'm giving you direct, precise bars. Trophies by Drake came out in 2013. Yeah. You know, we spoke about in a recent YouTube video how Drake was the most dominant rapper of 2013. And this was his victory lap. This was the cherry on the cake because he dropped it December 30th of 2013. And yeah, man, what a moment that was. What's crazy is that he wanted to put this on Nothing Was the Same, but he just couldn't finish it in time. Do you so think he had the song somewhat ready. I don't think it would have fit that well. It could have fit, though. What you know, a celebratory anthem?
Maybe,
it could have fit.
Maybe towards the beginning of the track?
Yeah.
Like right next to a
I could have seen
leather.
It like right after Tuscan Leather. Like between Tuscan Leather and Furthest Thing, or maybe like right after Starter from the Bottom, you get That's Trophies. That could have been nice, bro.
Oof, that would have
been
another
fucking
one,
nice.
Eh?
What's crazy, though, is that even before he was cooking this song, Hit-Boy had made the beat for Childish Gambino and sent it to Gambino, who just chose not to use it, and then it went to Drake.
So that was supposed to be a Gambino song.
It was supposed to be a Gambino song, funny enough. But yeah, this anthem kind of became the template for a type of Drake sound that a lot of fans want. When we think of that triumphant, celebratory Drake music, this song's sort of the best representation of that. I love that the song samples these epic horns from a Western movie called Oblivion. Kind of sound like the All of the Lights horns, if you really think about it. A lot of similarities there. And yeah, I love that Drake has the utmost confidence and charisma on this track. And just him rapping about like his main purpose in life is to stay alive and to take care of his people. It's just, like I said, words to live by for me.
And like the trophies and the Grammys don't necessarily mean anything to him. Like he's really...
And it's not one of those lyrical showcases, if you guys are expecting that, like a story is about my brother in the middle of the ocean where Drake is taking the conversational approach. It's more about like him projecting his voice as he's rapping.
Full-blown confidence.
Emotion is more heightened, so is the passion. If you guys somehow haven't heard Trophies, which I'm sure you have, it's a huge song. Do yourselves a favor because it's an all-time great Drake song.
All right. Big W. Want to go through 2016?
Sure.
All right. Let me know if you see any surprises.
Let's see this.
2016. Biggest. So Work Remix number
work
one.
Work Remix number one. Bam.
This is where I was at. Yeah.
Okay. X is a W pretty high up.
Absolutely.
We were okay, let me ask you this. You have I Got the Keys, which came out in 2016.
That was big as well in rotation.
Has that stuck around for you? Because that's one that hasn't aged the best for me.
If I listen to it, I get hyped.
Okay.
Because I liked the song so much as a kid. You know, I was really fucking with it back then. I was a big Jay-Z fan. I still am a big Jay-Z fan. So to be able to get him in Future on the same song, I went fucking crazy.
All right. Some I went interesting absolutely picks. Ballistic. This one's, I never heard this. Bailar, a Pitbull, and Elvis Crespo.
Yeah, fire. So this was back like when we were going to like Sweet 16s and house parties.
Okay.
And it's Elvis Crespo's Bailar, and I believe that the remix was done by Pitbull. And when I used to go to Sweet 16s with you guys, they used to play it at every single party. And then, like, I guess it just got stuck in my rotation.
Newer
and then,
song or a classic?
Oh, it's a classic song. You for sure, you could play it a bit. Yeah, just click on that.
Let's see, go back up.
Go click on that.
Bailar.
You never played it?
Maybe, I just don't
of
know
course
my name.
You know. Yeah, put the volume on.
Oh, of course.
Of course you know
okay,
this fucking
this is
song.
A classic,
yeah, this is
for
a classic
sure.
song. Absolutely. Fire. We were bumping this at Sweet 16s. It was awesome. Get a bit fucking hammered, and then after that, you put on Elvis Crespo, and the whole room changed.
Absolutely.
You know?
Okay, the last question. On My Grind by Tunji.
Oh, that's a fantastic What's fucking that? Song. So I found this song by LeBron's IG. I remember when I was a kid.
Oh, sure. I think you've spoken about this
yes,
one.
Yes, I have. I
yes,
brought it in. I brought
true.
It in a
you
long
brought it
time
in,
ago.
Yes.
Yeah, what was it for? What was the episode,
remember.
The recommendation?
Maybe it was hype songs. I'm not sure.
I think it was hype songs. Songs to get you hyped.
Something like that.
Dude. Yeah, there's like these triumphant horns that come through, and like Tunji hasn't really done much, you know, moving forward with the career. But I mean, at this point in time, I mean, it's still in my rotation. Not that much. I'll go back to it every once in a while. Like the rapping's a bit dull. It's kind of like an NBA 2K song, you know, like it's not necessarily the craziest song for your rotation. But back then, like I was into that type of music and it was still kind of fresh and new to the scene. You get what I'm trying to say? So I was going back to it. Another song that was big in rotation for me back then was Caroline by Mine. I was fucking junking this. Yeah, that's up there as well. I was bumping a lot of Kanye West. That's when I was going into like a lot of his discography. 18 by Travis Scott. That is a forgotten Travis Scott banger.
Yeah.
Why do you think it never made an album?
I don't know, man. I don't know. When did he release it? I guess it depends on what.
I think it was 2016.
Interesting.
I believe it was 2016. Me, Myself, and I by Jeezy. Wow, that's crazy. I would you would never catch me putting on that song.
Your cousin put you onto that too? Yeah, I know he's still rocking with Jeezy, bro. Yeah,
absolutely. Shout out to R. Kelly by ASAP Rocky. That was big as well because I was obviously such a big GTA 5 player, and like that's still an all time whip song.
It's another episode we got to do at some point. Some GTA classics.
Yeah, GTA 5 classics.
Not even doesn't have to be GTA 5, man. Just GTA in general.
Yeah, you would do GTA in general. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to choose from. Full of fucking catalog. But you see, this is where I'm starting to get a bit more into like modern hip hop. 2016, like I opened up the floodgates.
Yeah.
And this is where I started to go a bit more into like different catalogs, start to open my mind to different sounds and shit. So yeah, that was 2016.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, for me as well, like 2016, like the last couple of years of high school is where I was like, okay, you know what? I'm a hip hop head officially. Like I'm following every release week by week.
2017 just gave me goosebumps. There is some, look, I swear to God, bro. Yeah, look, this is the high school playlist.
Mm-hmm.
This is legit the last year of fucking high school.
Yeah.
And then like the high school, okay, 2017 was special because it was finishing off high school. You finish high school, you do your summer going into your first year of college, and then first semester of college. So my next 2017 replay is going to be all based on that. So bring me to your next song recommendation. What do you got?
Next song, speaking of 2017, man, Bucket List by Gucci Mane.
Oh,
and
crazy.
This was around a time where like I was just fully invested in everything Metro Boomin was fucking doing. I mean, from what he did on What a Time to Be Alive to seeing his come up with 21 Savage established him.
Drop Top Wops was like his favorite collaboration album.
Yeah,
but
what's crazy is that technically it's not considered a collaboration album.
Yeah,
like,
we were having a kind of a feud on that at one point while doing notes, and you were like, no, it's a fucking collab album. I'm like, bro, go check Genius. And
he's
go check
not
Wikipedia.
Listed side by side he's with not, Gucci, which is crazy.
It's executive
because,
produced by him, though.
Yeah, it is. He literally produced every single song on that project. It's just that you'll have Q Beats on his by his side. You'll have maybe DJ Spins. Like, you'll have like different producers that co-produce the songs.
Which is
weird because that's also been in the case for other collab albums he's done where there's been other co-producers, but for some reason he wasn't billed as it being his album. But 2016 Gucci to me, man, that was like 06 Gucci to me because I wasn't really around for, you know, Gucci Mane in 2006. But 2016, when he came out of prison, we were all so fucking hyped because Guwap Home had come out with him and Thugger.
I remember that day it happened, though. Do you remember? We had gone downtown and we ended up going back to my house on Pierre Beans.
Yeah.
You remember that day, though, specifically?
I don't remember every detail of it, but
you remember that
day.
We were downtown. We were smoking cigs in front of the Eaton Center downtown. Then we took the metro and bus back home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when we had fake IDs and we go buy like a little case of beer.
Yeah.
And we go watch some hockey after, you know, and just chill out and bump songs, you know. That's when we used to split packs of cigarettes.
Yep.
Remember that? We used to buy one pack of cigarettes for everyone in the group.
A horrible fucking idea.
And it was like a rotation.
Yeah, it was like turns, bro. Okay, today's your day, bro. Go buy your fucking pack of cigarettes.
Go buy myself a pack of McDonald's Black.
Horrible, you know,
or like the OG Peter Jackson.
Guys, stay off the cigs, guys. Horrible stuff. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Gucci's era, like he had the Champions feature that had come out, the Everybody Looking album. It was his time to shine. And he definitely had a second prime, and we saw that on Drop Top Wop. And the song I want to bring in is Bucket List off of Drop Top Wop.
Crazy song.
One of my favorites. Only has, I think, 14 million streams. And this is a major highlight because it was such a refreshing way to boast. I'm like, I'm always listening to rappers fucking flex their jewels and just, you know, brag about all their possessions. But here's Gucci coming in and talking about like scratching shit off of his bucket list and actually, sort of putting check marks next to what he wants to purchase. And I'm like, this is somewhat original. This is a nice twist of flexing. But the song's a banger all around. Gucci's performance is incredible. He goes in about not having to sell bricks anymore, how he's now self-reliant, doesn't need awards, doesn't want to go gold. Well, doesn't need to go gold, I should say. Doesn't need approval from critics. Just him saying that he's going to like sort of take on the power for himself and do it all on his own. And I love the slow and creepy melody that escalates into a trap banger from Metro and DJ Spins. Just one of those peak Gucci songs off of what might be my favorite project from him.
Yeah, it's your favorite project?
I think it's my favorite project from him.
East Atlanta, Santa, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, how many songs can you name off of that are really that quality? Like, you have songs like Both. You have songs like Nonchalant. Like, there's a couple, but
there's
Drop Top
Wop
from start to finish was heat, bro.
All right. You want me to continue going with this?
Yeah, we can go on to your next year.
All right. So let me go on to 2017. By the way, I have Shape of You by Ed Sheeran in here, which is pretty fun.
That's horrible.
That's hilarious.
You were actually bumping? I was never into that song.
Oh, yeah, I was never into that song.
Bro, you don't have to bring your cheese on to me, bro. Like, even when that shit was on the radio, I was not bumping that.
Yeah, I wasn't into that song.
Bro, you don't have to spread your embarrassment my way.
Sheesh, there's actually a crazy song on here called Gotti by, Castro by Yo Gotti.
Banger. Yeah, you got to talk about Castro.
Yeah, I got to talk about Castro. That's a record.
Live Up to My Name by Bacchanal.
That's another one. That's another one.
That was heavy in rotation for
that
me.
That was a
too.
Big one.
Meg Gala off of Drop Top Wop. There
course.
You go.
This was like the high school. Like
Shape of You is pretty high up. That's wild.
There you go. Number 47, I believe.
That's nuts. Give Me Shelter makes every year for you. What else? Cash was fire. Pick It Up, Famous Dex. Yep, Famous Dex had some heat back then.
Yeah, for sure. We were following his career. He just started popping off at that point. But Castro by Yo Gotti. Who's the official like feature list of this song? Oh, yeah, this beat is nuts, too. Who produced this? Well, let me open up Genius.
Probably Mike Will.
Was it a Mike Will made a beat?
Wouldn't be surprised.
Castro, Yo Gotti. I know Kanye's on it. Boom, Castro, Yo Gotti. Let me see this. Hold on a second. Yeah, so this was produced by Ben Billions. Wow, that's interesting.
Okay, cool.
That's interesting. And Ben Billions also did Down at DM by Yo Gotti. Did Low Life by Future. That's crazy. Often by The Weeknd. So you have a posse cut with 2 Chainz, Quavo, Big Sean, and Kanye West with the main feature from Yo Gotti. And yeah, it's just basically of like where they compare themselves to like the 16th Prime Minister Castro, Fidel Castro, and like basically the riches that he had and everything else that came with it. And like it was such a fun time to listen to trap music because there were so many different people coming into that world. Like Kanye West was fully immersed into it, and like all the productions that he would go on were just absolutely fucking ridiculous. So that's a good one. But Live Up to My Name by Baka, bro, that is a special song. I remember when that dropped, bro, and like not only did we have What was the official release date of that song? Was it while we were still in high school, or was it a college song?
I think it was 2017. So
Live Up to My Name.
It was likely a high school moment.
Release
for us.
Date. Yeah, but it says it was released in 2018.
Was it? It could be.
I don't know. That's what Let's it says. Because how do I have it if it was dropped in 2017?
Live Up to My Name. No, it must have been 2017.
It's 2017 for sure.
Let's see. Official release date was. Just gotta go on Genius. Yeah, May of 2017. It was high school.
Okay, so were we bumping it that heavy in the summer?
I remember bumping it pretty fresh off of when it came out.
Who produced this? Narcos produced it. Who else produced it? We had
no other big names.
Bricks Domain did Sacrifices and Ice Melts. Bricks Domain was also working on More Life at the time. And then Alex Lustig, huge fucking producer. There we go. But yeah, if you guys ever want to check out a Bacchanal Nice song that absolutely slaps and rings off, then this is your song. There we go.
We need a Baka comeback. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, you're ready for another Baka?
I'm ready for some more Baka.
That was a serious song. You felt like you're on top of the fucking world when you're listening to that song. All right, go for it, Lou. Next song.
Next song for me, Programs by Mac Miller, came out in 2018. This is a Lucy that Mac dropped off before Swimming, and it came in like that 3-pack with Small Worlds, and I can't remember the other song.
Was it Buttons?
Yeah, I think it was Buttons.
Do you find it better than Buttons?
Yeah,
I'm a bigger fan of Programs. I'm a bigger fan of Buttons.
Don't know. I mean, yeah. So that's, I guess, the reason why it wasn't included on the album is that it sounds more like it could have been on Good AM rather than like Swimming. It's more of that hardcore hip hop from Mac Miller. And this came out at around the time where he was going through a lot of headlines because of his public breakup, because of the DUI, whatever the case may be. And this was sort of like him speaking out for the first time since then. And he sort of addresses how, like, you know, he's not going to play into like the media and the headlines. Like, he's going to go back to where it's at for him when it comes to him being in the public eye. And that's about the fucking music. And it's just a straight up punchy trappy by Cardo and Q Beats. I love the brushes of cello that you'll find within it. Like, that's the thing about a Mac beat is that there's always going to be more complexities to it rather than just your standard 808s. And yeah, it's Mac just sounding cockier than ever, sounding more sure of his abilities than he ever has before. And I love that message of like, focus on my music, not what's going on in my personal life, because I'm not going to tend to that, you know? And not only do we get an anthemic hook, but 2 dope verses, some sick vocal effects on the outro. It was Mac Miller doing what he did best. And it was just such a fun time to go through Mac Miller's music around that time, because, you know, there was a hunger for it. He hadn't dropped in 2 years, and you get a song like Programs and you're like, wow, this is maybe one of his better rapping performances I've heard in a long, long time. So yeah, beautiful moment getting that 3-pack and eventually getting Swimming, obviously.
All right. You want to go into 2018, Lou? So this one's a big year for me.
Sure.
So this one's, do you think you're getting Gimme Shelter here?
It's got to be. I'll be disappointed if it's not there now, bro. You got to be consistent with it.
Okay, here, go. take your pick. This one's a bit more basic. You're going to find the run-of-the-mill stuff.
That the Astral Worlds and you go, Butterfly Effect, that one.
I think was that my most played song of the year?
Yep.
Yeah. I was like, I'm a huge fan of that song.
All right. Plug Walk W.
That was a huge fucking song back then.
Dubai Shit, for sure.
Huge. I was bumping a lot more Huncho Jack in 2018 because it came out so late. It came out in December, right? Yeah. So we were bumping that around the 2018 mark.
X off of Black Panther. That's a good song.
When was the last time you revisited the Black Panther soundtrack?
It's been a minute.
Yeah, that's a really good song. That's a really, especially the Q verse and the 2 Chainz verse. I love the way that they come in together. So
Let's see. What else is surprising here?
You're seeing your run-of-the-mill stuff.
Yeah, run-of-the-mill stuff. You got Raph in a lot of years.
Yeah, I've been bumping Raph over the years for a long time.
Suwoo by YG.
That's a crazy fucking song.
Swervo by G Herbo. I think you brought that in before.
Yeah, Swervo's a fucking sick
song. No, Gimme Shelter. No, this is fucking, this is a travesty, bro. Sheesh, you did them dirty. You did the Stones dirty, bro. All right, but what was I going to say? What was something that caught my eye?
Do you feel like I have NPC music taste based on my replays?
You got Mos Def in there, so that saves you.
That's okay. I got the
Hello by Flatbush Zombies. That's cool.
Oh, wow.
You got some bush in there.
Vacation in Hell. That's a crazy fucking album. Did you come to that concert?
I did not. No.
Wow, that's a concert you should have came to. That was a fucking sick one.
I was never a huge, huge fan of Flatbush. Like, I enjoy their music, but I probably wouldn't like go to a concert. Like, I'm not that level of a fan, you could say, you know?
I got to experience it once. They're sick fucking performers.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're sick performers. I even remember that concert. That's one of the coolest performances I've ever seen. Because like, you saw Michi, you saw Eric, and you saw Juice all like freestyle cyphers for like 20 minutes each, which was really fucking cool. And like the way that they came out of the floor out of like Graves was fucking crazy as well. So that was awesome. Acting Crazy by Action Bronson. This is another big one for me of that time. So off of Mr. Wonderful, that's a whole album that you guys could visit and go through. As far as Swervo with Southside, if you're not familiar with that song, I don't know what to say. Crazy by Gnarls Barkley, bro, is always making it. That's an all-time classic for me. That's an all-time classic for me within everything I do. Respiration featuring Common off of the Black Star album. I was a really big fan of that album. I still am. I still go back to it. And then after that, what else was big for me this year? Oh, yes. Redemption by J-Rock. This was a huge album for me in 2018. I was going back to this all kinds.
I saw a conversation recently on Twitter, people saying, like, debating if J-Rock has a classic album or not. And I'm like, it's a good fucking question. It's hard to really to say. I mean, he has great albums. Does he have a classic though?
It's tough. I think maybe classic for me in my rotation, but like unanimous community classic, I don't know. But West Coast, like, if you were to go to Los Angeles and you were to tell
people would probably say like 9059 is a classic.
Absolutely.
You know? You'd probably hear that.
But like community worldwide sort of standpoint, I'm not so sure. But regardless, Redemption is so fucking sick.
Oh, it's great.
Wow, Freestyle, man. I remember going back to that. Win was cool in the moment. I was a fan of it. But now I have a hard time going back. Redemption with SZA, that was really cool. Shit Real with T Grizzly. King's Dead, obviously. But Out of Sight, Out of Mind. That's one of my favorite hip hop songs.
What's your most played off that album? Is it Out of Sight, Out of Mind?
Yeah, that or Redemption. I think those are
OSOM or the
bloodiest.
Freestyle.
The bloodiest as well is definitely up there. New Choppa is definitely in that conversation. Oh yes, 88 Glam's self-titled. 88 Glam's fucking self-titled, bro. This was huge for me as well. If you go through this, 88 Glam Reloaded, you have songs like 12, Ricardo, Bali, Ice on My Leash, Lavish, Big Timers, Give and Go, Kyrie, Heisman, Marina. Oh my God, bro, what a fucking album. There's full of slappers on this. If you guys have never gone through 88 Glam Reloaded, which is their self-titled project that dropped back in 2018, I believe it's actually their EXO debut, you guys are going to absolutely adore this thing. Actually, I think Mihalo did the cover for this. I think Mihalo did the 88 Glam cover for this. But regardless, though, still an album that I have in rotation at this point. Cold Toronto sound throughout all of it. It was super fucking cool. And then anything else I want to talk about? No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Speaking of 2018, I have a song from here. Probably my most underrated off of this list. It's going to be Baller Better by Rob Stone featuring Jay Davis. And I feel like most people, when it comes to Rob Stone, are only familiar with Chill Bill. And that's what I was at when I was like 18 years old. I loved Chill Bill, man. That was one of my favorite songs to smoke to with friends, to just chill out to. Like, it was truly one of those defining songs for me in high school. So one day I was 18, I'm like, fuck it, bro. Like, I love this song so much. I don't really see that much buzz or steam around Rob Stone, but let me just, you know, look into his catalog.
Look into the catalog.
See what the fuck's up, you know what I mean? So I went in, I ended up clicking on like his most recent album at the time, which was called Young Rob Stone. And I came across this fucking song and I never went back. Like, this was an absolute fucking smacker. Only has 277,000 streams. And this song has Rob Stone reuniting with Jay Davis, who was also on Chill Bill. And it's just an outright trap banger. The flows are contagious. The hook is catchy. It is catchy as fuck. And then Jay Davis comes in with urgency and some really sick setup rhymes as well. And I mean, it feels like more traditional rap, trap music,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that it's a song that, like, you could have heard 2 Chainz or Jeezy, you know, make.
Is there a crazy sample like on Chill Bill?
There's no crazy sample. It's just an outright, like, banger, bro. It's a basic piano melody with, like, 808s and snares. Like, very simplistic production, but it's a song I've bumped while working out. It goes hard on the aux. I've used it for parties. Like, it's really one of those songs
there,
that's
right?
aged super well, and I feel like not a lot of people know it, guys. If you want a fucking slapper, I'm not exaggerating with this one. Listen to Rob Stone's Baller Better.
Who's not fucking around with this one?
Eh? I am not.
All right,
not
you want to go through my last playlist, 2019?
All right.
All right, this is the last one, 2019. Let me know if you want any explanation anywhere. I think this is the one you're going to be the happiest with. This is probably the one.
Okay.
You might see Gimme Shelter make a comeback here.
Distance, I won. That's great.
Yeah, that was my most played song of that year.
We'll speak about the Beast Coast album because I have a song off of there too.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Which one do you have?
I have It Ain't Easy, It Ain't Easy.
Oh, crazy fucking
song. Some more 8A Glam. Okay. I wasn't a big fan of that album, though.
You weren't?
No.
Wow. We were all big fans of that album.
Not the OG 8A Glam album. You have something off of their second album.
Oh, what did I have? Purple Baguettes?
No, Little Boat.
Oh, that's another good song as well.
Okay.
That one went crazy for them. Not as much as Bali, but it was.
How You Feel, Nate Husser's Montreal Love. I like that.
I believe I recommended that not too long.
Gimme Shelter at 51.
There
you go. Had to make a comeback. No Romance by 16-year-old and Killy. That was a big one that we were bumping along.
That was a huge fucking song, absolutely.
That was huge. What else do we got?
I think, do I have Kilimanjaro on there by Lil Skies?
Kilimanjaro was Killy also.
Oh, sorry, by Killy, my bad. Do I have
I don't see it, but
do I have any Lil Skies on there? That's what I was in.
I don't see
it. Like a slight Lil
You got
Skies.
Goonie Gang by K Goon.
Yes, sir. Shout out to fucking
Montreal Love.
Yeah, shout out to K Goon. That was a great fucking song, that drop back then. I believe that actually got radio play for him. That was like probably his like biggest ever quote unquote hit at the time, and it was pretty exciting for Montreal too, because not that there wasn't much steam coming out of the city, right? Because you definitely have a huge fucking scene here. But I mean, it was one of those songs that like was starting to really pick up, and they just didn't necessarily have the legs maybe to get into the U.S. market itself. But that's definitely in conversation.
So talk about Distance, man. Beast Coast.
Okay, so who is this even produced by? I believe this is a Chuck Strangers beat, if I'm not mistaken.
It's weird. Like, there was some names I wasn't recognizing. Like, on It Ain't Easy, It Ain't Easy. Produced by Tyler Dobbs and Sam Wish.
I know Tyler Dobbs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What has he done?
Hold on a second. Let me pull this up. I believe he's an in-house producer, if I'm not mistaken.
Could be.
Hold on a second. I have to pull up the whole Beast Coast album because there's a lot of like, there's a lot of people on this. Like, it was a huge fucking album. Distance. Who produced this? Was it a Chuck Strangers beat? Hold on. Let me pull up the credits here. No. Actually, never mind. It was Powers Pleasant that did it.
Okay, fine.
Well, there's a lot of Powers Pleasant throughout the entire album.
That there is.
Hold on. So what were you asking? Who
Distance. You had Distance at number one.
No, but who were you asking for? You were asking for Tyler Dobbs?
Well, you know, you said he was known, so I asked you just what has he done?
Yeah, so he had done a lot of Macklemore stuff. He had also done, I believe he did Bones off of the album as well. ASAP 12-y shit. Did stuff for Michi.
Okay, so some more low-key credits.
Yeah, he ended up doing stuff for Flatbush themselves. Did stuff for Zombie stuff. Yeah, I believe he was actually, he was at the concert that I had gone to, if I'm not mistaken, when I went in 2018, which was cool. And like, I think he was in the back itself. Hold on a second, let me see. New World Order, Flatbush Zombies, that's a crazy fucking song.
Great
as well.
Song.
Yeah, he has a crazy amount of credits, low-key. I think he probably started with Macklemore and then after that moved his way in more into East Coast hip hop. But yeah, Distance is fucking crazy, man. I mean, it's just like, It features Will Eric and Izagold, and when you go through it, like, you know, they're probably talking about a bunch of different stuff, you know, just talking about, like, how dominant they are in the rap game, talking about their luxuries. It's not necessarily the most lyrical, like, lyrically dense song by Joey Badass, but it's more of, like, a celebration. It's more of an anthem, and I've always loved this song because it just gives me a huge boost of motivation and inspiration. So I had it in rotation, especially this time around. Like, the music you see in this playlist, because, like, there's a lot of Outkast in here as well, a lot of Joey, going so on and so forth. I feel as if, like, when I was a kid, like, in that 2019 time, we had just started the podcast. So a lot of, like, the ideologies and a lot of the music that I was listening to within this playlist really bled in into, like, the project and, like, the foundations of it. So I always really enjoyed it, and it was always a top-tier song for me off of the album. But talk to me about the Beast Coast album as a whole. Do you go back?
I go back, man, yeah. How often? Like I said, It Ain't Easy, It Ain't Easy was up there for me. It's just one of my favorite posse cuts from the whole decade. I mean, Kirk Knight on that song was so vicious, bro. Like, he only has, like, 10 lines, and he's going from flow switch to flow switch. He has, like, four different flows, from melodic rapping to actually hardcore rapping. And to me, it was just them putting in literally, like, 100% of energy in all of their verses and those transitions from one rapper to another. Crazy how, like, my favorite song off of this album doesn't even have Joey Badass on it. Like, that's how much I enjoy the intro off the album.
Stone the Stadium as well was a big one for me, too. I believe that actually made my replay for this year, if I'm not mistaken. I was going through a lot of Money Mitch started playing. Oh, Amnesia by Freddie Gibbs. Yes, this is definitely a recommendation that I have to bring in. This is fire. Just fucking Freddie going absolutely crazy on You Only Live Twice. This is easily, like, one of his most underrated projects, too, for me.
Mm-hmm.
You Only Live Twice is crazy. You start off with 20 Karat Jesus, arguably one of his best ever songs. Alexis, another fantastic song. Crush Glass, Dear Marie, and then Amnesia. Fuck yeah. 32 minutes, 8 songs, guys. That's a
recommendation. That was what, 2017?
2017. Yeah. It came out 2017, and I had it in rotation around the year and a half later. So, fucking W there. So, yeah, that's going to conclude for me, man. I mean, I went through my years. I gave you guys literally everything I listened to. So, that is legitimately my most listened to music of the 2010s decade.
I'll do one more song, man. I'll do, hold on a second.
Do you wish sometimes Spotify had, like, your tracking of your most played songs from year to year?
It would have been cool. I mean, I kind of have it in my head, though, for the most part. But it would be cool to see the exact stats of, like, okay, like, what was your number one this year? What was your number two?
Because if ever, like, I want to go back in time and just go listen to, like, what I was listening to the most or what type of period I was in that time, like, I can't lie. Like, this is legitimately it. So I always have fun going back to these playlists and going back to certain hidden gems. So what do you got next?
Last one for me, Some Way by Nav featuring The Weeknd, 2017.
Crazy, yeah.
And I remember first discovering Nav, man. It was listening, obviously, to Birds in the Trap sing McKnight. Like, a lot of us found Nav, and we were just bumping it in Nick's garage. And I don't know if you were there that night, but we stumbled upon Biebs in the Trap, and we're like, who the fuck is Nav, bro? Like, who is this guy? Like, we loved his contributions on it, and we're like, this is insane. And then lo and behold, you end up getting his self-titled, and based on the hype of his feature off of just that one song,
it went ridiculous.
We were fully, you know, locked into that, and it's just it's an absolute vibe of a song. You're getting The Weeknd, you know, rapping a bit more than usual while also being in his melodic bag, portraying himself as, like, just this sly guy who's gonna steal your girl. And
it was just feel-good music.
It was feel-good music. The hook was catchy as fuck. Hilarious lines from Nav, like, I think my nuts look better on her face. It was just such a fun track, and one that we replayed so many times.
The amount of music we listened to in Nick's basement, that was crazy, bro. We Nick's in the back, bro. We baptized that house, man.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Legendary days.
That was a legendary fucking legendary basement. Remember before school, we used to go out like fucking 6 or 7 in the morning, bro, and just go play board games and shit or play cards.
Yeah, and it was like the pre-party before like Sweet 16s, man. It was
to do on a Friday night, man. Just get hammered at Nick's crib, bro. Just have fun. I have old pictures of me, Nick, and Brew, bro. Like smashing 40s.
Yeah, I've
40s.
Seen those. Yeah,
I still have them. Yeah,
that was before Sweet.
Yeah, before won't say the name.
You guys were saying the name. Sheesh.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. It was a good time, though. We had a good time in high school. Yeah, 2010s was a very special period in my life. I think it is for you as well, Lou.
Yeah, the formative years, man.
The formative
years.
So
the years that made you the man you are today.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, as fucking as cheesy as that sounds.
It's true,
though. It's the facts. It's the reality
absolutely.
Of it, you know?
You discover. It is the funnest years.
Yeah.
At least for now. I mean, I haven't really lived through my entire 20s. I'm not even halfway there yet. Actually, soon, though. You guys are soon. You guys, I mean, this is probably
mid-20s officially, man.
24. There it is. Is 24 considered like the mid-20s?
Yeah,
I think so.
I believe it's like 20 to 23, early 20s, 24 to 26, mid, and then 27, late 20s.
Fuck, bro. Crazy. That is absolutely nutty. So, yeah, that's going to conclude today's episode, guys. A lot of nostalgia. I tried to take a different approach with it this time because I always come in with songs and shit, and I've recommended a bunch of stuff from the 2010s, but I thought it would be cool to go through my actual rotations from back in the day and just give you guys an idea of what I was listening to. Lou came in with a bunch of fucking heat, especially the Drop Top Wops recommendation. It ain't easy, bunch of great songs. So if you guys do enjoy these recommendations, you know, give us a 5-star review. We really appreciate it. And as I've been saying, we are dropping episodes every single Tuesday. And we're kind of working maybe on a little series for you guys. We're still deciding what, and we're still kind of going through different creative sessions. But we do have new content coming on the way for the audio podcast. So we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we'll catch you next Tuesday. Peace.